coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Monday, September 23rd, 2024. I hope everyone had a great weekend. Just a lot of information, a lot of things happening over the weekend. What, 43 days now, I believe, until Election Day. And, you know, I was driving this weekend 2.2 miles on three different streets, okay, for a total of 2.2 miles. And I was a little bit concerned because we're talking about a relatively upscale area, a suburb, quite a few residences, some like a convenience store here or there. And I saw seven signs in the yard for President Trump and four for Harris. No. Again, this is, and these are not multiple signs on one property. These are seven properties with Trump signs, seven with Harris signs. My question, seven, did I say that right? Seven with Trump, four with Harris. As I looked at that, I was just thinking about this. What's in the water here? What are the people thinking? If you've got a sign out for Harris, look, I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I'll just say this. It's pretty clear who wants to imprison our, who wants to take away our free speech and ultimately imprison us, if not just outright kill us and get us into World War III. It's the current regime, and part of that current regime is Harris. Now the polls I was looking at, or was watching, it might have been, it was a RAV program, whether it was American Sunrise or before that. And the polls apparently, according to this one guest, are all wrong. It's not a tight race. It's much in favor of President Trump. However, I don't believe polls, and I have to look with my eyes. And when I see this in this one particular area, again, 2.2 miles of surface streets, a total of 11 residences, seven for Trump, four for Harris. What's up with that?
Unburdened by what has been.
That's right. And you know, I did catch, and I watch it so you don't have to, I did catch a little bit of Morning Joe, where they were saying Harris's platform is clear. But even if you don't think it is, even if she, now I'm paraphrasing Joe Scarborough, you know, dead intern in my office, Joe Scarborough, even he said essentially, and again, paraphrasing, even if you don't think Harris's plans are out there for everyone to see, well, it doesn't really matter because you know Donald Trump's plans. So it doesn't really matter if Harris doesn't say a word. That when I heard that, I'm thinking, who thinks like that? But okay.
I want to tell people,
Eric,
when I pulled into the office today, I was met with a surprise.
Oh, you're not supposed to tell.
The election decorations were out.
Yes. Okay. I thought you were referring to something else. Wink, wink. No, of course not. The signs, the flags. That's right.
I thought I was pulling into a rally.
Yeah. At the studio here, we do have a little bit of pride for who. I'll tell you what, no one can mistake us for anything but supporters of freedom to make America great again, safe again, healthy again. And I do hope he keeps to his promises, because today, folks, I've got a great program for you. I've got a very, 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 very special guest, the Make America Healthy Again. Look, there's one thing that we can't forget, and that is what happened to us in late 19, early 20, 21, and so on. How many of us, many of our friends, family members were actually murdered. That's right, murdered by the medical establishment. So I've got just a tremendous man on who suffered just a horrible loss, and that's Scott Shera. And we're going to be talking about this medical murder. But before we get into that, just a few things I've got to hit very quickly. I want to thank you, the supporters of this program, for standing behind us. Look, we do a lot of things that you don't know about, a lot of investigations. That's going to come up here momentarily. And a lot of things that we do for a number of other platforms and people and such. So I want to thank you, the supporters.
So almost, we don't sleep.
No, we don't. I'm going to tell you something. If we can get 3-4 hours at a time, that's really, yeah, we don't sleep.
Sleep when you're dead, right?
We can sleep when we're dead. And Eric, the tech, did you have some of my coffee this morning? Did you?
Yeah. No, I got pumped up when I pulled into the office.
There you go. There you go.
However, though.
Oh, no.
Your neighbors have you beat.
How's that?
Have you seen that one house going towards the mall that has the Ultra MAGA billboard in their yard?
Well, that's coming. That's pretty much that's a homemade deal. Am I right?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. But I've got some more surprises. Just hold that thought.
It'll probably get burned down, but it's nice.
Well, I get a few surprises. Anyone wants to try to take the signs from the front, I got a few surprises for them. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
Claymores.
you don't want to. You will end up, I guarantee you this, anyone who tries to run them over will end up with a flat tire, I promise you. Anyone who wants to grab it, you better have some pretty heavy-duty gloves. And
warning, stepping on this property may cause burns.
May cause a lot of things. And don't forget about the wireless hole punchers that we have. Yes. You know, I want to thank our corporate supporters, too, including and especially ChuckDefense.com. Folks, Chuck Norris is legendary. Chuck Norris. He's 84 years old. He's got more energy than I do. He discovered what... Yeah, he could create dramatic changes to his health simply by focusing on three things that sabotage our body as we age. And I want you to go to chuckdefense.com/Hagman, two ends on Hagman. Watch his method by clicking on the link in the description box below. You know, and if you've ever wondered what happened to him, again, he's 84 years old. I saw this video some time back, and I was really surprised by what he saw. He is still working out. He's staying active. What's even more shocking, he's stronger, can work out longer, and even has plenty of energy left over for his grandkids. Now, he did this by making just one simple change. He says that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this one thing, too, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, and she has all-day energy. Oh, man. You know, just to be there, that's worth watching this video. And he made this special video that explains everything. So make sure you watch it by going to chuckdefense.com/Hagman, two ends on Hagman, or by clicking the link in the just right below this video. It's going to change the way you think about your health. And once again, that's chuckdefense.com/Hagman, two ends on Hagman. Click on the link in the description box below to watch the video now. You're just not going to believe how simple this is. So thank them very much. A few things before I bring on my guest, just very quickly. I'm going to show this. Folks, you know, and I have sent out the bat signal to a number of individuals. I've been lucky enough, fortunate enough to be able to communicate my concerns about the safety and well-being of President Trump. I really have. And this is a consequence of an investigation. Now, we are a licensed agency, 35-plus years working as a licensed agency in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And, of course, we've done a lot of cases during that 35 years. And, of course, Shatter Ops saved them. Russ's legendary men, their team, saved them. The international component brought them in, brought them together. Susan Daniels from Ohio, Eric the Tech, of course, stepped in. So we created this team to investigate things that happened in Butler, things that happened now in Florida, of course, on the 15th. And then the statement made on the 19th/20th, depending on where you look, by Representative Matt Gaetz. I want to show you something here that is of great concern to me. And folks, if you have seen this, I apologize, but if you haven't, take a look at this letter. This is a letter, and Pozo posted this. A good friend of mine, Jack Posobiec. Merrick Garland's Department of Justice just revealed that there's an active Trump bounty for $150,000. Okay, hold that thought for a second. Hold that thought. Ryan Routh himself revealed this in a letter months before the attempted shooting. First of all, what the hell's wrong with that statement? What's wrong with that statement? Not that Jack's making, but what's wrong with that statement? Okay, let's...
How much was your fatwa?
I didn't warrant the $150,000.
You're less important.
Of course. That was back in, what, 05, 06, something like that. The Pakistani cleric that issued it, I believe is dead, which I don't know if that, I don't know if it's still exists.
Well, you're still alive, so that's good.
Well, yeah. I lost a car in the process, but so what? Had a car blow up in the process. In fact, that was shown on Coast to Coast AM way back when during the day.
Scott's like, should I come on the show today?
he's saying, wait a second, you didn't tell me all this. Yeah, and now, you know, back then the feds came to me and said, you know, Doug, let me tell you something. This is like a 7:30 at night. Okay, true story. Randy Taylor can back me up on this. I got a knock on the door at 7:30 at night, and the feds came in, and they said, hey, I got to tell you might want to increase your security. And I said, well, okay, why? And my wife is there. Again, now this is what? My goodness, 18 years ago, something like that. And I had a young daughter still living at home, and my wife said, I should knock you out. Just imagine this. You're at your house. It's in the evening. You get this knock on the door. You got two FBI agents there saying, hey, we need to talk. Back to this letter. I got some questions. Anyone have any answers? Okay. The problem with this letter, the story is this. Routh was in the bushes, in the area where the media scrum would hang, six whole green in sight. However, he writes that, you know, gee, sorry I missed. I'm going to offer $150,000 bounty for whoever completes the job. When did he write this? Ask yourself, when did this man write this? Was there another attempt that he missed at that we don't know about? Just asking. And if not, because supposedly he had written this according to the Department of Justice, a while back, before September 15th. Do these people think we're stupid? Eric the Tech, can you help me out here, brother? What is that? I mean, seriously, when did he write this?
I don't know. I'm not smart enough.
I don't think any of us are. Or clairvoyant enough. You see what's going on here, don't you? I'm going to show page two real quick, because I don't want to take too much time for my guest. Page two real quick. This is something that people need to pay attention to. There are still networks of individuals out to kill President Trump. But I'm going to tell you what. When Matt Gaetz said there were five teams, three international, two domestic. Number one, there's more than that. Number two, the domestic. I'm going to tell you right now, I'd be looking very carefully, very closely at the Secret Service agents assigned to the President Trump's detail and the first and second degree associates among the people involved in that inner circle. And that would include as well colleagues such as Lindsey Graham. That would not preclude any political alliances whatsoever. I'd be looking very closely because there's a leak here. If you want to throw that section on from research, here is the status, I believe, if we can do that, put that on there. The U.S. Secret Service, and this is a product of ours. I cannot link this to the program information under the links. I can't source this under the links. This is part of a confidential document I submitted. But I want you to take a look and commit to memory the names here. U.S. Secret Service personnel and duties with respect to Butler. The Pittsburgh field office agent in charge, Timothy Burke. He's been placed on administrative duties. You have the lead advanced agent. Now, let me tell you something. The advanced agent, the field agent, lead field agent, they're different people, different duties. So Meredith Bank, the lead advanced agent, was in charge at Butler. The lead counter sniper at the rally, of course, his name is there. And I have a note with that. This was the first time Secret Service counter snipers were deployed to support a former president's detail. Now, this is according to Ronald Rowe, the acting director of the Secret Service. This was stated during an August 2nd, 2024 press briefing. And you know how I feel about things that are not quite... when someone breaks routine, you know how I feel about that. Just saying. And then, of course, the site agents. You have two names there, both placed on administrative leave. Now, Dana Dubray, if you look at the second name there, she hired legal counsel Mark Zaid. Now, if that name doesn't ring a bell to you, anything anti-President Trump, Mark Zaid is, I mean, he will jump over television cameras to get to that case, to work the case, if it's anti-President Trump. Just saying, you have someone who's supposed to protect, well, an agent who has a protectee who hires an anti-protectee attorney. Just saying. And then, of course, Beaver County, Pennsylvania officers and duties. You've got Greg Nickel, the Beaver County sniper. And if you scroll down just a little bit, well, no, it's right there. I'm sorry, number two. That's his wife, who was a medic and also made the declaration of death on the rooftop, and some other operators as well. Communications, number three and four, and the rest were operators there at Beaver County. Now, I'm just going to leave it right there. The reason I bring this up is you're going to be hearing more about all of this in future broadcasts. So commit this to memory, screenshot it, do whatever you want. Commit this to memory. You're going to be hearing more about this. All right. The last thing before we get to the guest, and only play a minute and a half, 2 minutes of this. This is extremely important. This is by the Vigilant Fox, and this is about something bigger in Springfield, Ohio, far beyond the Haitians eating your domestic pets. And you know what? Joe Scarborough, Mika, and other sycophants of the Harris people, this is happening. And not only are they taking geese from the parks in Springfield and around Springfield, not only are they busing these illegals to work at food packing plants, yes, they are involved in religious ritualistic murders of domesticated animals as well as geese. I do have this. I've got recordings of this. I have information directly from people who live there. We've been there. We've been in contact with people there, and we will be going there as well to get statements. But the media is lying about this. This is clip one, and the last clip, we'll play 2 minutes of it, and then we're going to bring our guest on because he's put up with me this long. Here, watch this.
A Wall Street Journal reporter has made a bone-chilling discovery in Springfield, Ohio. Asra Namani has published a shocking report that could soon change the national discussion from Haitians and other migrants eating cats or dogs in Springfield, Ohio, which is a serious problem, to one that is also very sinister, the hub of a complex, hidden human trafficking network in the tiny Rust Belt town. The story in this town is not about cats or dogs. It's about mules, she says. It's a twin tragedy of migrant workers from Haiti exploited and locals from Springfield marginalized. She said just about every week since 2019, First Diversity Staffing Group, Inc. has shuttled vulnerable Haitian migrants in unmarked white Ford and Chevy vans from Florida to Ohio, where they are allegedly exploited for cheap labor by companies like Dole Food Company, Inc., adding, it is a secretive and sinister operation that has gone unchecked for more than 5 years. And of course, this affects the employment for the locals as well. Namani revealed FBI anti-trafficking agents and Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost are now investigating allegations of human trafficking in Springfield. She says what began as my efforts to track down a rumor about animal cruelty has turned into an investigation that reveals a malignant system of labor exploitation involving a local businessman, George Ten, whom Haitians and local residents call King George, the chief executive at First Diversity Staffing Group, Inc., the Springfield company that has been the tip of the spear in the alleged trafficking operation of Haitians to the town.
Okay, you can Namani cut it right there. Folks, go to HagmanPI.com under today's program description, under the title. If you click on the title, you'll see all of the links, that one especially, minus, of course, what you saw with respect to the Secret Service and Butler or Beaver County Secret Service. But you're going to find all of the links, including my next guest. Again, before we get to him, I want to make one last announcement, and that's tomorrow. I'll be on Wisconsin Christian News Television, 6 p.m. Eastern time. And I believe they have made it so you can actually join like a Zoom call. And although this is being televised, it'll be like on a Zoom call, and you can actually ask questions. I may be talking about our investigation into the assassination and attempts and some of the things that we've found. So it's going to be a great show. So please, I would urge everyone to go to Wisconsin Christian News, find the link to the television show, and watch it, as well as Scott Sherrod has been on as well. Now, he's a nationally recognized expert commentator on the medical murder agenda in America. Folks, we cannot afford to forget, and I know Scott has not forgotten, because he was personally affected by this. Scott's research proves that the, again, he's an expert in this murder agenda in America, the dangers of incentivized health care. His research proves that this practice of medical murder is intentional and by design. We know that, but he's a living example of this. The father of Grace Shira, a 19-year-old with Down syndrome who was killed by St. Elizabeth's Hospital, Ascension Health, by the way, Scott he's on a mission to spotlight the crimes of the American medical system. Now, I'm going to tell you right here, right now, you've got to get behind Scott. You've got to help him in any way, shape, or form you possibly can. I'm going to be giving out his website. Again, the link's at Hagman PI. Now, he has shared his insights, research, and personal story throughout hundreds of television, radio, and podcast appearances. Now, he's questioning whether, gee, what did I do? Get on Hagman. But no, I'm glad he's with me. He's been on just a tremendous number of podcasts appearances. He also hosts his own show, Deprogramming with Grace's Dad, which can be found on Rumble and all major podcast platforms. Now, his work and story have been chronicled in a chapter of the Wall Street Journal bestseller, Rise of the Fourth Reich. And Steve Deese wrote this book. And I know this book. I'm very familiar with it. Recommend it. Steve Deese co-authored it with David Horowitz. His writing has also appeared in Assault on the Image of God. And you can find those links at HagmanPI.com, along with a number of other links that, look, he's funding a battle. He needs, he's outpacing his supply line, so he does need some financial support. Although he might not tell you that, he does. You can read Scott's research and analysis at the link ouramazinggrace.net. I've got to say, I went through this, I watched the video, broke my heart. But without any further ado, I just want to welcome Scott Sherraw. Thank you so much, Scott, for joining me today, and thanks for your patience in the introduction on this.
Well, thanks for having me, Doug. It was a great introduction. I have several comments regarding your intro, which I usually do. When a host does an intro, I take some notes so that I can comment. But before I do, you and I are in a very unique club, as you know.
Yeah.
A club that keeps me speaking out, because I don't even want my worst enemies to be in that club. And that's a club where we lost two children. And you know, my son Travis committed suicide in 2018, almost 3 years to the day before Grace was murdered in the hospital in 2021. And it's a tough walk, but you know, you wonder, how did we get into this? Well, I know how I got into it, is because once I found out I was one of God's, that was about 30 years ago, as I realized what that meant, I said the prayer that you don't want to pray, but God doesn't need us to ask for it, because he's going to do it anyway. But I prayed the prayer, do whatever you need to do to break me. And you know, I have become broken. That'll do it.
And, yeah,
he's my daughter. I mean, you know what it's like.
I think you're the only other person that I know and have spoken to at length about losing not one but two children. Again, different circumstances, your case and my case as well. But it rips your guts out, and certainly makes you a very humble, God-fearing person. It's a club you don't want to be in, folks. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, just a few things on your open that you mentioned I thought were very interesting. One is this idea of we can't forget what happened. And that's really where my research has gone, because what happened, we'll just frame that as the 39-month COVID era. And the 39-month COVID era woke me up to what is happening, because it did happen. The COVID psyop did happen. Many people were murdered, including my daughter, Grace. Many people were maimed and killed with the bioweapon that got introduced during that 39-month era. But that era, if you're awake, it would show you that this has been going on for a long, long time. And that's what I'm going to show today as part of the research I've been doing. I have about 3,500 hours of research into this. I mean, you're a researcher your whole life. I'm a new researcher. And, you know, your skill set is fantastic. I wish I had that. But I have an analytical bias. I'm a CPA by trade. And because of that training, it gave me the ability to research. Then I just also wanted to mention what's going on is this. The idea is they're trying to get everything back to normal so that we forget. And the most recent thing that's happened, I don't know what the price of gas is in your area, but it went down to $2.79 a gallon. So when gas goes down, just you just process, if gas went down to $1 a gallon, I mean, we are so we're such emotional creatures that we're influenced by that and think, oh wow, everything is great. Well, everything isn't great. The reality is what happened during COVID has been happening for a long time, and it's going to take repentance of our nation to fix this. That's the only way it's possible. And we'll get to that at the end. Then you mentioned about your death threats. I have not received any death threats, but interestingly, after we started speaking out, I was on Newsmax in 2021, was my first live TV program to a national audience. Well, shortly after that, I was on a big radio program, and the general manager called me a couple of days after the radio program hit online. It was live, but I mean, after it hit online, and he called and said, have you received any death threats yet? And I had him on speakerphone with my wife, like you said, your wife was there. And, you know, I said, no, we haven't received any death threats yet. Why are you asking? He said, well, we've been receiving them at the station. And, you know, so we, you know, you have to walk through that process. Are you going to get security and all of that? We chose to do nothing, realizing that God's hedge of protection is around us. And then last, I wanted to talk about Chuck Norris, not because of Chuck Norris, but my wife and I went to my uncle's funeral yesterday, and he was a lot like Chuck Norris, very strong man. He happened to also be 84 years old. And I was talking with his kids. You know, we grew up together. We lived right down the street when we grew up as kids, and talking to them. Their dad just went into the hospital with shortness of breath. And they told the family, well, he's lived a good life. We have limited resources. This is what's going on. The ration care model is real. And they murdered their dad, my uncle, in the hospital. And we just went to the funeral yesterday. This is real stuff. All right. So that's all my comments on your open. So then, Eric, would you go to my first slide, please? Because I want to introduce Grace to the audience. All right. So she is the reason I'm here. Doug mentioned Grace had Down syndrome.
What a beautiful girl. I mean, really.
So you don't know this, but yesterday we went to the funeral, but yesterday was also Grace's golden birthday. She would have been 22 years old yesterday. And, you know, God's sovereign, Doug, as you know, and 22 years, 8 months and 29 days ago, 29 days. Yeah, 29 days ago was when Grace was conceived. Yeah, that's when the miracle started. And how did that even start? Well, my wife and I were 39 years old at the time, and we had been chasing the American dream. We already had 2.1 kids, 1.7 dogs, no cats, chasing that dream. And we decided to turn the baby department over to God. And God had a plan that started 22 years, 8 months, and 29 days ago. And this little stinker was born on September 22nd of 2002. And at that time, we already were getting wise to the system, but we weren't all the way there. And when she was born, I was in the delivery room. I said to Cindy, I think she has Down syndrome. We had not done any of the testing. And the doctors came in after a huddle to the room and said, we suspect your daughter has Down syndrome. Do you want to keep her? And we were like in shock. What are you talking about? And we just told them, get out of here. You know, of course we want to keep her. But we didn't really know what that meant. And, you know, abortion wasn't at the point where you could abort somebody all the way to term at that point. But the agenda against the Down syndrome population was there. And as my research has shown, 90% of Down syndrome people are aborted before they're born today in the United States of America. It's a sick, sick thing. The picture on the left, I like to joust a little bit because, Doug, you know, we have a lawsuit for Grace's wrongful death. It is a civil case. I realize it's in the Antichrist legal system. We're using it as a platform to shed light on this evil. anyway, I like to tease that that was my hair color before I hired four attorneys. So anyway, that's my best buddy, Grace. She was a gift from God. God started his plan for her and our family 22 years ago yesterday.
What, all right, let's go. Darling girl. Before you go on, you said the doctors asked, do you want to keep her? What was the alternative?
Well, they said, that's a great question. They did say, we have people waiting in the wings for children such as these. So, you know, at that point, my thought was adoption. You know, I'm not awake to child trafficking, organ harvesting. I wasn't awake to anything then. But I really don't know what they meant.
Okay.
But now when I see it, I see, you know, the whole thing is sinister. We, you know, we're not going to have another, well, unless God blesses us with another child, but you know, that seems impossible at this point, but nothing's impossible without God or with God. Anyway, we would never go into a hospital to have a child. I would absolutely recommend that nobody do that. You're admitting yourself to a system that is designed to take away your rights. CPS is involved as a direct link to the hospital systems now. So if you don't agree with what the hospital is telling you to do as a parent, they can take your child away, and they do take your child away. And it's serious business. This hospital murder situation is one of the hidden items in our country, and the globalists, do not want this exposed because of the chaos that it would create, and I presume hopefully the pushback that it would create. So that's real stuff. I want to dive into Grace's records, because Grace's records were the first thing that tipped me off that something was wrong. We went into the hospital on October 6th of 2021, Grace just had a cold. However, we were led to believe, because her oxygen saturation had dropped to 88%, that was an emergency, admit yourself to the hospital. So we did that. Grace was dead 7 days later. You know, so then you think, what's going on? She just had a cold. They told me, let's just put her on oxygen and a steroid for 3-4 days and get her home. And so I thought, well, as her dad, you know, I'm a protector. That seems to be a good preventative protocol, but yet they did that. If I would have never taken Grace to the hospital, Doug, Grace would be alive today. If they would have only followed what they told me they were going to do, oxygen and a steroid, Grace would be alive today. But what happened to Grace, got me into the fold of doing research and goes, what is going on? So let's just pull up the first record. That's number two. Eric, thank you. All right, so the first full day in the hospital, Doug, was October 7th of 2021. The COVID expert, you can see his name was Anthony Zimet. We've deposed him now in the lawsuit, and he has quite a story. I never met this man. He was so aloof. I've never met a doctor that was this aloof. And I'm not going to go on that rabbit trail now, but I want to show you what he wrote in his first day doctor's report. This is the man that the entire Ascension St. Elizabeth system submits to. And his perspective, of course, he documented Grace had Down syndrome. The reason I highlight that is because in the 22 doctor's reports that were written in the 7 days Grace was in the hospital, they referenced the fact that she had Down syndrome 36 different times. There were multiple references to us being Christians. There were also multiple references to us following the misinformation campaign of the frontline doctors, which we were. We were following it wasn't the frontline doctors, but it was the frontline COVID critical care doctors, the FLCCC. So we were following their protocol, and they did not like that because they saw we're against what they're trying to tell us. But here's the biggie at the end. He wrote, I think the patient probably would not be here if she has been fully vaccinated. You know, these type of things in the records, I was shocked to see as I was going through them, because they're brazen. You know, this is just telling us we are against you. And because you're unvaccinated, you're going to be treated different in the hospital, because the unvaccinated are the problem. That's the the propaganda that was being spread. All right, let's go to the next slide, Eric. As I started digging, I started filing complaints. I had talked with Ron Johnson's office. They said, you got to file all these different complaints. And so I did. I did complaints against Grace's rights with American Disabilities Act. This was a complaint against the doctor's license with the Department of Safety and Professional Services. This is the state licensing board in Wisconsin. In Grace's case, the way they killed her is they gave her three contraindicated meds, Precedex, lorazepam, and morphine. They gave her those in a 29-minute window, and giving her those in that window caused her to die. The morphine package insert says those meds are contraindicated and they can cause death, and you're supposed to keep the reversal drug bedside and monitor the patient. None of that happened. This was on October 13th of 2021. 3 days earlier, I had been taken out of the hospital by an armed guard. We had to get an attorney involved to get our daughter Jessica in as a replacement advocate. So Jessica was physically in the room at the time of Grace's murder. She called us that evening. She called us at 7:18 p.m. panicking. This is after they gave Grace the meds. And she said, Dad, we're on a FaceTime call, my wife Cindy and I, with Jess. And she said, Dad, Grace's numbers are dropping like crazy. I said, call them, get the nurses. And she said, I've been trying to. They refuse to come in. So we started screaming through the FaceTime call, save our daughter. And we had no idea these meds were given to her. Idea that...
If I can interrupt you for a second here. Yeah. Let me... Now, I know the backstory, but many people may not. You were physically removed by security from your daughter's hospital bedside. Why?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. Strangely, I'm gonna actually jump ahead, okay, and then I'm gonna fill that in, because we're helping a lady who has special needs right now. She's 59 years old. The family called us a month ago and said, she's at St. Elizabeth's Hospital. Will you go visit her? They had heard our story, and you know, we're out there, we're trying to help people. And so we went into St. Elizabeth's Hospital, not even knowing what room she was in at that point, because she had just gotten out of surgery. My wife called the front desk, hey, what room is this lady in? So we go, and the hospital is fairly good size. So we didn't even realize we were walking into the same floor and same wing that Grace was murdered in, just several doors down the hall. So we walk into the lady's room. And we were with her 10 minutes. We just introduced ourselves, gave her a hug, started chatting with her. She couldn't talk because she has a vent in, but she was acknowledging us. 10 minutes in her room, two armed guards showed up and escorted us out of the hospital. So you think this is over, you know, what we got to, we don't want to forget what happened. Well, it is still happening. So what happened in my case, I was advocating for Grace. So an advocate is supposed to find out what's going on. And I was challenging the fact that they were not feeding Grace. And the evening of the 9th of October, I was talking with the nurses and saying, we've got to feed Grace. And they, oh, we can't. The doctor won't let us do this. I said, listen, they come in, the nursing staff comes in and swabs her mouth multiple times a day. They remove the bypass, swab her mouth, and they put her on a different form of oxygen during that time, and she's fine. That's all we need to do. Then we can feed her. But they said, we can't remove that bypass, so consequently, we can't feed her. But I was explaining to them what's going on, and they said, the doctor won't allow that. And I said, listen, I'm the one in charge of my daughter's care, not the doctor. We've got to do this. And so I demanded a meeting with the attending physician so that I could talk to him and get him to override what these foolish nurses were doing. 7 o'clock in the morning, then on October 10th, instead of having the meeting with the attending physician, the head nurse showed up with an armed guard and removed me from the hospital instead.
Wow. Okay. Now where I interrupted you, they had given your daughter Grace this lethal cocktail. And by the way, each one of those have the black box warning on them. You don't give them together, and certainly, but give one, each one, you've got to monitor very carefully, and they didn't do that. So that's where I interrupted you. Your daughter Instead of you and your wife, your daughter was there in place of you, and you were FaceTiming. That's where I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Thank you for doing that. Yeah, you know, my most important attribute is I'm a dad and a man, so we don't remember where we left off. So you did a great job bringing me back, Doug. So they had given this med combination to Grace. We're not the wiser to it. And all of a sudden, Grace's numbers are tanking. We're on the phone now. And with the FaceTime call, we're screaming to the nurses, save our daughter. And they hollered back from outside the room with a guard at Grace's door, she's DNR, do not resuscitate. And we scream back, she's not DNR, save our daughter. And because of that DNR order, they refused to come in the room. And we watched Grace die on that FaceTime call at 7:27, 9 minutes later. And you know what got us first investigating was that I was real sick at the time. When this happened, I drove Cindy to the hospital. She went in with Jessica. Jessica's in Grace's bed waiting for Cindy to get there. And after, you know, the pastor met us there, the mortician, all of that. And Cindy was walking out with the pastor pushing her in a wheelchair. And one of the nurses leaned down with Grace's items on a cart and said to my wife, she said, Mrs. Shara, me and several of the nurses don't think Grace should have died today. Well, then I ended up in the hospital 3 days later. I just about died on October 16th. They turned me around in 24 hours. So that event, along with what happened to Cindy, we have a doctor friend who said, Scott, you better get the records because something nefarious happened here. So as I started piecing things together, and then the slide that Eric had up, I sent to complain state licensing board, and they wrote back. So I'm complaining against the doctor who ordered those three meds and wrote the illegal do not resuscitate order. And they wrote me back and said chapter 154, which is the DNR statute in Wisconsin, of the Wisconsin statutes does not apply to physicians operating in a hospital non-emergency room setting such as the one in question. Wrap your head around that statement. That means a doctor can put a DNR on anybody he chooses. I mean, that's ridiculous. But this is one of the claims that we have in the lawsuit, Doug, because you know our lawsuit is about saving lives. It's about shedding light on evil. We've already said any money that we would get from the lawsuit, we're not taking. So one of the claims is we have a declaratory judgment. We want the judge to rule on this illegal DNR. So hopefully we can stop this because doctors now, with the approval of their licensing board, or resuscitate orders on anybody that they want. And we've seen this now multiple times as they become outspoken. People are writing to me regularly and telling me about very similar situations. So that kind of sets the stage for, all right, so all this happens. I start researching. I'm finding out just about everybody in the COVID era died of remdesivir or a ventilator in the hospital. Grace had neither one. In fact, we believe that the reason the doctor gave Grace those meds and put the illegal do not resuscitate order on Grace is because we refused the ventilator. We refused it five different times. And the morning of her last day, he told us she had such a good day yesterday. Let's do this and that. We'll get her out of bed, get her home in the next several days. But instead, he injected her with meds to euthanize her and put an illegal DNR order on her. Well, why? Well, because the ventilator payday is about $300,000. And the hospital was at maximum capacity in their COVID wing during that time. They had people in the ER waiting, and they had to turn the bed. So ultimately, that got me into what the heck is going on. They're actually murdering people in a hospital. I mean, it's too outside of how people think to think this is real. And the next slide will get you into the mindset. And this was maybe the most shocking statistic, because in the United States, we had more COVID hospital deaths than all other 200 countries on the planet. We have 1.2 million hospital murders during the 39-month COVID era. How is that possible? We've been told we have the best medical in the entire world. And out of 200 countries, we're number one with COVID hospital murders. And when you frame that in terms of who is number two, India is number two, and their population is four times that of the United States, yet their death count less than 50%. So it doesn't add up. Something was going on, and that got me really going into the research. Let's go to the next slide, Eric. And this slide is the most important, Doug, because it frames the entire situation. And if you don't see this as a spiritual agenda, and you see it at, oh, this was just a mistake, you know, we had to deal with the pandemic, which is a psyop. But if you believe that, you can't see the big picture. And as I have learned, you know, once the first sin happened in Genesis 3, I believe that's when the law of entropy took off. I don't think the law of entropy was in existence before that. The law of entropy says a couple of things. One is we go from freedom to chaos. We go from order to disorder. We go from from freedom to control. I got to just get my bearings here, Doug. We go from freedom to control. That's the law of entropy. God is a God of freedom. We go from order to chaos. God is a God of order. That's why I believe the law of entropy did not exist before the sin in the garden. All right, so then if we've got this going on, this law of entropy, what is the spiritual battle? Well, we know that Satan is after our souls, and he does that in a very physical way. Interestingly, he is bound by the principle of Genesis 18:17. This is when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said to Abraham, "Shall I withhold from Abraham what I am about to do?" And that is a principle that God has for believers. He does not withhold things from us if we are pursuing him. And Satan is bound by that same principle. But Satan is a legalist, so he does it through tacit approval. And the first one that I found toward that end is the Hippocratic Oath. And we've been programmed to believe the Hippocratic Oath is first do no harm. Well, if you read the Hippocratic Oath, you'll see the first paragraph is an oath to satanic gods. So you wonder, why are we in this situation? Well, Satan was telling us all the, we're required to dig, right? You're an investigator. I've become an investigator. When you dig into this stuff, you see, oh my gosh, we were warned ahead of time by Satan, but we don't want to pay attention. We want to be lazy. We don't want to do the work. And that's where we're at today. The virology vaccine agenda that started in the 1880s, already in the early 1900s, doctors were speaking out, the ones who were awake, telling the world who would listen that they had not seen cancer in any patient who was not vaccinated. Jacobson versus Massachusetts, I'm sure you're familiar with that court case. That was the Supreme Court case that facilitated COVID. In that case, I'm going to read right from the case here, Doug. That was a case where a pastor by the last name of Jacobson did not want to take the smallpox vaccine. And his case went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decided in favor of the state of Massachusetts 7-2. And they wrote, in every well-ordered society charged with the duty of conserving the safety of its members, the rights of the individual in respect to his liberty may at times, under the pressure of great dangers, be subjected to such restraint to be enforced by reasonable regulations as the safety of the general public may demand. So what they did is introduce the legal principle of collectivism. And so collectivism, if we have anything that the government now deems as a public health emergency, the spirit of collectivism takes over, and the principle, the legal principle, not the lawful principle, the legal principle of Jacobson versus Massachusetts takes over. And, you know, we're going to be talking about that in just a little bit. But, you know, just in case we run out of time, you think right now, you know, COVID is over. We're not under a public health emergency. Well, that's another lie. We are under a public health emergency. And I have it right here. We're under the public health emergency of the opioid crisis that was first implemented on October 26th of 2017. This is the legalism that I'm talking about that Satan is under. So now we are still under a public health emergency, which means hospitals and health facilities are under military control. That's why they can remove us from a hospital. And, you know, if we wouldn't go with their security, they would call the police department, and the police are under the authority of the hospital. The Flexner Report in 1910, the Carnegie family with the Rockefellers hired Abraham Flexner. And this is where modern medicine came from. Allopathic or modern medicine started with the Flexner Report in 1910. So all other modes of health, allopathic, or not allopathic, naturopathic, osteopathic, chiropractic, all those.
Man, we have a little bit of freeze up there, my friend. Okay, folks, if you can hear me, and I know you can, go to Rumble as well to see the visuals. You're going to really need to see it, or Hagman PI, and play it off of our website as well. Okay, we're back. You froze up there a little bit. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so I am back. Good. I saw I froze up, so let's bring up slide 5 again, Eric, and I'll finish up with slide 5. Okay, so then Medicare. Medicaid was started in 1965. That's going to be my focus as to how they're doing things today. And Medicare, Medicaid facilitated standards of care in the 1980s. All right, so let's go to slide 6. So what Satan has been extremely successful at convincing the globalists is that we need to own the population. We have limited resources, and the eugenics was already around before Jesus walked the earth. But in the modern view of eugenics, the United States facilitated what is the eugenics program today. In fact, they were the impetus behind Hitler's adoption of the eugenics movement during World War II. That will shock most people. But if you do the research, you'll see what I have on the screen is true. I'm not going to dive into that in detail right now because I want to get into the Medicare and Medicaid because that impacts just about everybody. Let's go to the slide 7, Eric. So Medicare, Medicaid, we've been lied to. If you just think through what's going on, Medicare and Medicaid was passed on July 30th, 1965 by President Johnson. And the idea was, and this is how a lot of laws are passed in our country, Americans with Disabilities Act is a great example. Grace didn't have an advocate for 47 hours as we were researching for the type of lawsuit. We thought we were going to have a disability lawsuit, Doug. And we found out that Grace's rights as a disabled person expire upon death. So these laws, a lot of these laws are put in place to give us the perception that our government is doing something. Medicare, Medicaid was a great example of that. We're going to take care of the elderly and disabled. And I believe Medicare and Medicaid was put in place by design with the law of entropy to hasten the death of the population that Satan put in place and has been working on for 6,000 years. So Medicare, Medicaid, we're going to take care of the disabled and elderly. Now we look at that as we're paying in our Social Security our whole life. We'll get free medical care once we're 65. It is a complete sham. And my uncle's death in the last couple of weeks shows that. I mean, it's a rationed care model. And that is what is going on as the model to hasten death. Grace was on Medicaid because she had Down syndrome. And I believe 100% that is why she was admitted to the hospital. There's absolutely no reason to even admit her to the hospital. She just needed oxygen and a steroid, which we could have just gone home with that. No reason to admit her at all, other than our government has, through the spirit of collectivism, said, you know, don't have enough money. I'm going to show you the statistics on that in a little bit as to what it costs to run these bureaucracies today. All right, so let's get into the legalist piece of this, slide 8. So remember I said at the beginning, Satan has to let us know what he's doing ahead of time under the principle of Genesis 18:17. Well, Obamacare was passed on March 23rd of 2010. Section 1553 is the authority to euthanize. So the government has the authority to have assisted suicide, euthanasia, and mercy killing. We look at the Canadian MAID program. This is part of the projecting of the sin that our government is fantastic at. We project our sin onto the Canadians, the medical assistance in dying, the MAID program. Yet we are always the ones behind these nefarious actions before they begin. And Obamacare codified this into law. Before Obamacare, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, signed by President Reagan on November 14th of 1986, that eliminated all downstream liability from any consequence of a vaccine. We've got to get through our head. There's never been a vaccine that's ever been tested. And so when a vaccine has never been tested, what is going to be the consequence? Well, people are going to die. And with COVID, there's literally, across the world, in the neighborhood of 20 million people already have died from the COVID jab. And the Brooke Jackson case, which I'll cover here in a little bit, shows exactly how nefarious that is. But all the downstream liability was eliminated by the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act on November 14th of 1986. Interesting today, for a couple to send their child to the public school system, they need 80 shots. The child needs 80 shots just to participate in the indoctrination program of the public school system. All right, so let's go to slide 9. These are the statistics relative to Medicare, Medicaid. Assuming that you survive the first three leading causes of death, which are heart disease, cancer, and medical malpractice, which happen to be 1.7 million deaths a year, 142,000 new medical murders every single month in the United States. 61% of the annual deaths in the United States are a direct cause of the medical industrial establishment. So the death funnel, once you're on Medicare, Medicaid, they have that system designed to ration care. Through the spirit of collectivism, they've convinced the doctors and nurses, all the programming, the coding is all designed to hasten our death. I'm going to give you a very specific example after I go through these statistics. There's 135 million Americans on the program today. 38 million were added on purpose during COVID. The cost of these programs and the related Social Security is almost $5 trillion a year, over 50% of the annual federal budget. I used to be an estate planner, Doug, when I'm a legal CPA, and we would protect people's estates from the state coming after their assets after death. The state can have a claim on your assets for the money that they use to hasten your death. So the question is obvious. Can you avoid signing up for this? And this is how they pulled it off. Most people have paid in their whole life to Social Security. Of course, the exceptions are those people who are the congressmen, because they are exempt from their own rules. So we pay into Social Security our whole life. So we believe that, well, we need that money for retirement. Most people need that for retirement. We've been paying it in our whole life. Well, once you start taking Social Security, you are automatically on Medicare. You would want to exempt yourself if you could, but you can't. They tied those two together. So we hear things, for example, Medicare is going to run out of money. Social Security is going to go bankrupt. These are all lies. We're under a fiat currency. Those systems will never go bankrupt because they are put in place by design to reduce the population to hasten death. The specific example I want to give you is cancer. So cancer is the second leading cause of death in the United States. The standards of care for cancer, let's go to the next slide because I will introduce it. Dissent in Medicine really nails this. This book was written in 1984. Nine MDs were exposing standards of care for the first time. Standards of care started in the early 80s. They were exposing cancer in the early chapters. The statistics for cancer are chemo has a 2.1% success rate. That means it has a 97.9% kill rate. Chemotherapy across the board. I mean, it's like you can't make this up, but yet we're programmed that if we get cancer, it's the kiss of death. And then we think, oh, we'll get on chemo, we're going to lose our hair. Well, the three standards of care that the doctors can only prescribe are chemo, radiation, and cutting. I'm going to read out of this book. I'm going to read a direct quote because I have the book right in front of me. This is out of Dissent in Medicine. And these doctors were trying to speak out. They didn't realize this is a spiritual agenda. So by reason, they were speaking out, similar to the doctors speaking out against the vaccine agenda in the early 1900s. They wrote, the entire field of orthodox oncology will disappear as chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation. These were the standards of care in the early 80s. Now, 84, they're already realizing these are going to kill people. So they said it will disappear as chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation for cancer are revealed as fundamentally irrational and scientifically insupportable. Their conclusion on cancer is a patient stands a better chance of recovering if he is never diagnosed. So you can see the system is literally designed, Doug, to hasten our death. Entire globalist that we have too many people are too expensive, and there's not enough resources on the planet.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I don't want to break your stride, so go ahead.
I want to show the implementation at a ground level. Did I freeze up again? I want to show the implementation on the ground level of the standard of care doctrine. So let's go to slide 11.
All right. 1 second here as we bring up slide 11. Folks, we're talking with Scott Shira. The website is ouramazinggrace.net. Go to HagmanPI.com in the program description. Click on the title. All of the links will be right there. Please support this man in his quest. I've got to tell you, this is just absolutely obscene. Go ahead, sir.
All right, so this is boots on the ground level. This is the nurse level. Our daughter Jessica found this a couple months ago on Facebook, and I wanted to get it out right away. This is a labor and delivery nurse. She's obviously proud of herself because she even posts her picture with her name. She wrote, as a labor and delivery nurse, it was up to me to inject the newborn. Even back then, over 30 years ago, this is why I say, Doug, this has been going on for a long time. We had patients that would refuse. I know that is their right as parents to refuse, but as not only a nurse, but also a mother, I could not send a baby home defenseless. I know what I did was not right, but I would inform the parents I was taking the baby to weigh him or her on a more precise scale and then take them to the nursery and inject them. Just had to do it. No baby was going to bleed out on my watch in spite of the parents' stupidness. So this is the standard of care model relative to the vaccination agenda. Remember, no vaccine has ever been tested. No vaccine has ever been tested. But the programming, the incentives, all the programming, their licenses are all dependent on following the standard of care model. This next slide, let's go to slide 12. So you think, well, why do they do this? And of course, the state licensing boards, I've already shared that. State statutes, no surprise when you start realizing how nefarious the Congress people are. The state statutes put a literal bubble wrap around this idea of suing the doctors. It's quite a miracle. When we jumped into this fight, Doug, we told God, whatever doors you open, we'll walk through. But we have one of the very first wrongful death lawsuits in the country. The state statutes, the lawsuit itself, Doug, will cost about $800,000. The state statute limits the liability payout for a medical malpractice lawsuit to $750,000. So you can see this is one of the dumbest things a businessman would ever do, but we're doing it for a completely different reason. All the incentives, the insurance, the reimbursement rates are all designed to follow the standard of care model. We know, for example, that doctors during COVID, if they were advising to take hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, they would lose their licenses. They would be fired from their jobs if they would not follow the standard of care model that has been dictated to us by the federal government. The federal government is, in fact, in charge of health care through the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And then finally, their training in AI. The AI model, when you go into the system, the AI model will give them the codes to maximize the profit for the hospital. Their training, which I'm going to go through in just a little bit, a very specific example of their training, of how they're programmed through their training, that they don't look at the person as the patient. They look at the diagnosis as the patient. So the diagnosis and your symptoms determine what they do to you. And then I want to just share a couple of very pointed examples that I've learned through Grace's death. So we got a different attorney involved outside of the civil case legal team to write to the district attorney for a felony charge against the doctor. And this is another belief we have. We think that we have this right to informed consent. And right underneath the training AI, I clipped this out of the letter back from the district attorney in Outagamie County, Wisconsin. She wrote back to us, a doctor is not required to administer treatment she or he believes is not medically effective. This includes authorizing a DNR. The parties clearly had a dispute about how Dr. Shokar should treat Grace. Dr. Shokar did not abide by the wishes of the family. However, there is no law in Wisconsin that requires him to do so. Right below that is a clip out of, we filed our lawsuit on April 11th of 2023. On July 14th was the first set of motions to dismiss. And the judge did not entertain any of those motions to dismiss. I'm froze up again, it looked like. Am I unfroze now?
You're okay. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, good. So in the brief to the judge, so what happens when there's motions to dismiss, the attorneys for the defense have to write a brief to explain to the judge why he should throw out this case. So this is literally from the brief from one of the defense attorneys. He wrote, the legislature's purpose in enacting a statutory scheme to govern claims for damages arising out of alleged medical malpractice was to encourage healthcare providers to remain in Wisconsin by imposing certain limits on the causes of action that a patient or her family member can pursue and the types and amount of damages that can be recovered. So you can see what he was doing. He's saying, listen, judge, if this case goes forward, we're not going to have doctors that are willing to practice in our state because of the fear of lawsuit. So they're trying to take away God's way. God's way is choice and consequence. You can't just have choices with no consequences. And that's what they tried to convince the judge of. Praise God, the judge did not buy into that defense. All right, a couple of closing slides in this section. Let's go to slide 13. I know you're familiar with this, Doug. The Smith-Mundt Act was passed in 1948 that said that our government could only use propaganda against other countries. Well, that was repealed in 2012. So the government can now lie, legally lie to us. Remember, Satan is a legalist. So all this stuff is legal. It's not lawful. And then what happened in COVID? Let's go to slide 14. We heard hundreds of thousands of times, safe and effective, safe and effective. That was a complete lie. No one will ever be held to account for that. Why? Because it was legal. The Brooke Jackson case that I referenced earlier, Brooke Jackson worked for Pfizer, Doug. She filed a whistleblower case against Pfizer on January 8th of 2021. Pfizer's defense was an other authority agreement, an OTA, with the Department of Defense. They had a contract with the Department of Defense that said this was a prototype, it's not a vaccine, so consequently no testing has to be done on this prototype. That case was heard for dismissal on May 1st of 2024. On August 9th, the federal judge dismissed the case. The federal government came in behind Pfizer and said the complaint does not plead factual content to support a conclusion that compliance with the clinical trial protocol or regulations was necessary under the contract between Pfizer and the Army. So the federal government came in behind Pfizer, supported Pfizer, and said to the judge on May 1st of 2024, this case needs to be dismissed because it contradicts public health policy. The judge agreed with the federal government and dismissed the case on August 9th. All right, so this gets to the climax. Let's go to 15. So what is the public health policy? Well, the public health policy of the United States is, and of the world, because Satan is in charge of it, we don't have enough resources and people are too expensive. And so then we have, because we have a fiat currency through big pharma and big corporations, our government ends up being manipulated to implement this public health policy. That is truly what they call the public health emergency. It isn't the psyops of viruses or whatever else they're going to come up with next. They use those things as a method to implement the satanic agenda for our souls. And one of those legs of that agenda is to reduce the population. All right, I want to hit maybe the most important slide is the next one, the banality of evil. So how did this happen? And I'm going to explain the disabled abortion culture as the main situation. The banality of evil phrase was coined by Hannah Arendt when she studied World War II, the Adolf Eichmann trial, and she saw everybody's in on this. There's just this whole evil culture. And so everybody was participating. So what does that look like? I had said earlier that 90% of Down syndrome people in America are aborted before they're ever born. So how do we get there? Well, what does it look like? So how do we get everybody to participate? Well, we've invented things that look more orderly. So remember the law of entropy, we go from order to chaos, but Satan has a way to make it look like it's more orderly. And in the example of the disabled, it's called an amniocentesis. So the young couple gets pregnant, they go in to see the doctor, and the white coat is programmed that, hey, we've got this test, this amniocentesis, and so we should have you do this test. The couple is obeying the white coat because of the prior programming, so they sign up and get their amniocentesis done. Well, the amniocentesis is a tool to reduce the population. Why? Because it predicts if the person is going to have Down syndrome or any other disability. So now they get the results of the amniocentesis. The young couple has been programmed to get medical insurance, so they only ask, does my insurance cover it? Well, of course your insurance covers it, because the standards of care written by Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services is in bed with the insurance companies. So they get the results. The doctor says, we suspect your son is going to have Down syndrome, and I think you should abort him. And if they don't have roots, they just go along with the doctor's recommendation. So what does that prey on? EY, it preys on our selfishness, because this disabled person, they are going to be a burden to society. They're not going to be a productive member of society. This has been the spirit of collectivism that has been going on since the early 1900s in the United States. All right, I want to show you an exact document. Let's go to the next slide. This is how they indoctrinate doctors. On the right-hand side, you can see what they do first. So remember, this is the mindset. They're programming these doctors with this mindset. So the first thing they do on the right-hand side is they do an introduction. People with Down syndrome have a high incidence of dementia. That's a complete lie. But they have cataract problems, sleep apnea, dental issues, just a litany of problems that people with Down syndrome have. They don't talk about the blessing that the person brings to the family at all. They just talk about all the problems. Remember, this is the indoctrination of the doctors. So then if you go over to the left-hand side, it says the lifelong toll on families is high. You see, they're setting themselves up as the white horse coming in to save the family from this nasty thing called Down syndrome. Part of a robust plan of care includes acknowledgement of this toll by healthcare providers. We had this example, Doug, with another Down syndrome person at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Appleton, Wisconsin. The family called us, and the sister was on board. I was telling her what's going on, what they're going to do to him. But the mom, who had power of attorney over the son with Down syndrome, didn't want to rock the boat. She trusted the doctors. Ultimately, they killed him in the hospital because of this indoctrination. So then the killing statement, whenever possible, decision makers for people with Down syndrome should be encouraged to use substituted judgment to make key palliative care decisions. All efforts should be made to determine the preferences of the patient. However, because of lifelong cognitive impairment, the views of the person with Down syndrome may not be known. Again, I like the phrase, wrap your head around that. Think through what they're saying. I know the view of every single person with Down syndrome. They want to live. So now you take this and extrapolate it to the, you know, all disabled people and the elderly, and this is how they do it. They indoctrinate the population to believe in this spirit of collectivism, and the medical industrial complex is tasked with implementing it, and they hold their licenses hostage if they don't follow these orders. All right, let's start wrapping things up. Slide 18 is a quick example of how the rule of law does not apply anymore. You and I both grew up with the rule of law. Everybody in this system is operating outside of that. They know it. They know we have a hard time pulling the resources together to sue them. And even if we do, we're in their antichrist legal system with the lawsuit. So here's Ascension, Wisconsin. They unilaterally implement a new policy that says parents who have proxy access to medical information of a child age 0 to 11 years old will automatically have that access removed by the system when the patient turns age 12. So the hospital is unilaterally giving the sole right to 12-year-old patients to make decisions for their medical care outside of the parents' wishes. This is completely unlawful, but they do this, and this becomes the equivalent of law unless it is challenged. And so this is by a stroke of a pen. They're implementing policies that are completely unlawful. All right. So then God warned us, slide 19. He warned us of all of this ahead of time, as he always does. But we have to do our homework. For your merchants were the most important people of the earth. This is Revelation 18:23. Because with your sorceries, pharmakia, they deceived all nations. So what is sorcery? The use of power gained by the assistance or control of evil spirits. Exodus 7 is the first time we saw this, when Moses was challenging Pharaoh, and Pharaoh brought his magicians in, and they were able to perform the same thing that Moses was doing. And, you know, Jesus warned of this in Matthew 24:24, that there's going to be great signs and wonders, and these are designed to deceive. So Satan has this ability to deceive with sorcery, and he has done that with this whole vaccine virology agenda. He uses the idea of fear of viruses to get us into that mindset. And the pharmakia, the poison used to manipulate and control others. So the poison is the vaccines used to implement the agenda that is implemented by us becoming fearful of viruses that don't even exist. All right, then big picture, Doug, I'll close with this, along with an application. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. And I want to show an example of this. What I see, Doug, is the world, the matrix of the world, is a powerful delusion. So we have all this nefarious things going on, the Great Reset, and all the things that brings to the table. And then we have the other half. Satan has two halves, two pieces of his character, the Antichrist half and the false prophet half, that Revelation 13 reveals. And what I see happening is people are buying into this idea that we can have a new king, and there's going to be a great awakening, and God warned us in 1 Samuel chapter 8 that it's all a trap. Satan controls both sides, and this desire for a king that the Israelites had, we cannot fall trap to. And so what am I really saying? I'm saying that if repentance is not part of any platform, it's not from God. And we got here because of rejecting God. So consequently, the only way out of this is repentance. We've tacitly approved all these things that Satan has laid in front of us. We rely on the allopathic medicine model, think that we can take a pill for anything and it's going to fix us. And you had the Chuck Norris reference at the beginning. Obviously, Chuck Norris doesn't believe in the allopathic model. I'm going to show you a practical example of this before we close. Slide 21. and you hear me preaching on this whole vaccine agenda, it's because it's Grace's murder facilitated the jab. What happens is, historically, they have used viruses, and I'm putting viruses in quotes, as the fear tactic to get people to take vaccines. So you have this virus, then the vaccine follows. This virus, another vaccine follows. And that has been the agenda since the early, or the 1880s. All right, so then when this becomes part of our whole culture, this vaccine culture, and this is framing Satan controls both sides, and both sides is evil versus less evil. So you can see the shirt on the right-hand side. This is the push that's being made right now, that we need to have safe vaccines. And where there is risk, there must be choice. God's way is outside of Satan's way. So God's way is always outside of the evil versus less evil dialectics. So evil vaccines, less evil, where there's risk, there must be choice, or safe vaccines. God made our body fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's why I say God's way is always outside of these dialectics. So I've highlighted the first three in blue, representing the people who have swallowed the blue pill. Viruses promote fear, which are reinforced by the propaganda. The medical system is programmed to follow orders, and we're programmed to obey the white coat. And the public school system demands compliance. 80 jabs just to send your kids to the free babysitting service. The red pill people, we can't see, they can't see vaccines as evil because they end up getting involved with this illusion that the mandates are evil versus choice is less evil. And that's the dialectic trap of Satan. That is the goal of Satan's worldly deception. This matrix of the world is built on blue pill, evil, red pill, less evil, Antichrist, false prophet, all Revelation 13 being played out in real time. God's way is good. He's outside of the evil versus less evil dialectics of Satan. You can't fight evil with less evil. You fight it with the armor of God. And the vaccine psyops prey on our desire for safety, security, and comfort. If you think about it, if viruses are real, and so we get fearful, so you introduce the problem of virus, fear is the reaction, the solution is always a vaccine. They keep on this playbook over and over and over. So what is the solution? Next slide. Legislation. Obviously, no, we can't legislate morality. A king, a new administration, a king, 1 Samuel chapter 8 warns us against that, so no. The court system is an antichrist legal system. So obviously not the courts. And I coined the phrase the white pill. That's not a pharmaceutical pill, but the white pill, the only solution, Doug, as you know, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm calling him the white pill. I did a series called The Matrix Revealed. And in that Matrix Revealed, I ended up with the last segment of it is take the white pill, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who can fight this battle. And repentance is the way out. You've already shown the website. I want to show everybody our latest attempt to wake people up, slide 24. We just put up this billboard about a month ago. We have two of these up in our local area. We've at the most at one time, we had 22 billboards up in our local area trying to wake people up. Will you survive a hospital stay? That URL, medicalmurder.net. Dovetails. If you really want to dive into this, I spent about 1,000 hours doing a 7-part series. Medical murder is the number one cause of death in the United States by design. And that's where that URL will take you, is to that research. And then last, I'll show you our current family. Our daughter, Jess, who was with Grace when she died, is on my right. My beautiful wife, Cindy, is on my left. And that is me in a monkey suit on July 14th of 2023, our first court victory, and my best buddy. They messed with the wrong girl, and that's why I'm here.
Grace would be proud. We're proud. And I'm honored to have you on. This was fantastic. The amount of information you provided, the way you provided it, and how you explained it. I so appreciate this, and I'll just I'll just say this. The folks, everyone needs to get behind Scott Schara. I'm telling you right now, we need to keep this in the forefront. I want to thank you so very much. You know, my heart hurts for you, for your family, but we're behind you 100%. And I thank you for your gracious gift of time to come onto this platform to share your story. We're going to be pushing this out. OurAmazingGrace.net is the website. Folks, again, get behind all of the efforts of this brave man and his family, beautiful family. Thank you, sir.
God bless you, Doug. Thanks for having me. I really have enjoyed getting to know you before the program. It's been, you've been an absolute gift to me.
And you to me as well. So thank you, folks. Again, please keep Scott and his family in your prayers. Remember Grace, and let's all get in on this fight together. Thank you, sir.